The result of all this has left modern Brazil with three strata of spiritist belief, from the primitive Quimbanda through the more refined Umbanda to the intellectually elegant Kardecists. And although Catholicism claims an enormous percentage of all these groups, the reality is that it has had to compromise and look the other way as far as their spiritist practices are concerned. This was the imbience that Puharich and Belk faced in their expedition to Congonhas do Campo. Neither knew exactly what to expect, but Puharich remained firm the next morning in his resolve to let Arrigo operate on him. 36. At breakfast Puharich told the others about his decision. They were surprised, and there was considerable concern. Belk, who had a pinched nerve condition in the small of his back, said he was willing to try some of Arrigo TMS medication, but surgery, that was a different thing. Puharich, however, was determined, and the group made their way to Arrigo TMS clinic for the third straight day. The preparations for filming had already been made. Belk had a Polaroid camera with black and white film. One of the interpreters had a Minoxpi camera with the same type of film. Rini was prepared with his 8mm Kodak motion picture camera, loaded with Kodak 2 color film. The other interpreter would handle the lighting. Puharich had also decided to ask Arrigo to perform on him the IA examination at TM with the kitchen knife, which seemed to be one of his specialties. With Puharich TMS 2 tests recorded on film, the capacities of Arrigo would be clearly confirmed either for better or for worse. They approached Arrigo, and Puharich asked through the interpreter if he would be willing to undertake the surgery on the arm and the eye probe. The request, overheard in the crowded room, brought silence to the patients gathered there, and an air of expectancy. The American OTM doctor was now about to become one of them. Arrigo threw back his head and laughed, and said of course he would do so. Then he turned abruptly to the crowd, and said, "Hey, has anybody here got a good Brazilian pocket knife to use on this Americano?" ATM. This brought Puharich up short, but he could not turn back now. Half a dozen pocket knives were offered almost immediately from among the patients. The atmosphere was almost carnival-like. Belk found it hard to continue looking at the scene. He fingered his Polaroid nervously. Arrigo studied the knives critically. They were a variegated collection, some of them looking dull and rusty. He rejected several, then finally selected a Brazilian version of a Swiss Army knife. As the interpreter translated, Arrigo spoke in his bluff and hearty way. "Ah, the American scientist has courage, TM," he said good-naturedly. "Eh, he deserves an audience. I am going to demonstrate to this materialist what a spirit can produce. But he is right, my brothers. A scientist has to take all kinds of chances. Pasteur didn't TMT he take a chance with microbes. That is what a good scientist does. Not the scientists who are afraid to come here to Congonhas. But now we at TMLL demonstrate something he has never seen in the United States TM." The preamble was characteristic of Arrigo TMS rough rural style, but was hardly reassuring. "We at TMLL do the arm first to TM," Arrigo said. "Just roll up your sleeve, Dr. TM." The action was moving so fast now that Puharich turned quickly to check the camera setup. Rini was already lining up his motion picture camera. Belk and the one interpreter seemed to be set with their still cameras. All three were now considerably tense and nervous. The operation was a one-shot take. There could be no such thing as a retake, and Puharich was as apprehensive about this as he was about the operation. He instructed the other interpreter to bounce the battery light off the ceiling, to prevent burning the image in the lens. Then he turned back and prepared to watch Arrigo make the incision. But Arrigo instructed him to look the other way, and, it had become obvious, when Arrigo commanded, it was useless to argue with him. Puharich obliged, again checking and directing the cameras and lighting. In considerably less than 30 seconds, as some of the others said it was less than 10, a Puharich felt something wet slapped in his hand, along with the pocket knife itself. He looked down and saw the bloody form of the lipoma and the knife Arrigo had used to extract it. On his arm, where the tumor had been, There was a small slit, with a trickle of blood dripping down from it, but very little, considerably less than 2 inches. The skin area was flat, there was no longer the bulge of the tumor. Puharic was stunned. There had been no pain whatever in the arm. He had felt only a slight, vague sensation. The others had watched with incredulity. Just before the operation, Rini had started his camera rolling. It continued to roll all through the process and afterward. Arrigo had taken the knife, seemed to scrape it over the skin, and within 38 seconds, had pulled out the lipoma with his hands. It was totally alien to any surgical procedure. Arrigo smiled, and said to Puharic that Dr. Fritz had told him to say, "Ah, this is a demonstration only, so that people will believe. I think every doctor in Brazil should come here and do what you have done. After the legal process against me, you must come back, Dr. Puharic, and I will do major surgery for you at TM." Puharic, in one sense, felt vaguely unsatisfied. I experienced absolutely zero. I couldn't at TMT believe this had happened, yet it had, and there was no mistake about it at TM, he said later. He immediately asked for the knife in the eye procedure, but Arrigo told him he had enough for the day. Besides, you have nothing wrong with your eye at TM, he added. Belk, in the meantime, was taking the Polaroid film out of the camera, the shot he had made at the moment of the incision. But it was badly overexposed. The interpreter with the Minox camera had frozen in fear at that moment, and had forgotten to snap the picture. Only Rini at TMS motion picture would be able to supply the urgently needed documentation of the incision, and it would be impossible to know until these were developed on his return to São Paulo. Both a before and after a TM still and motion pictures of the area of the forearm had been taken in profusion, so at least these steps in the procedure would be well documented. There was another test factor in prospect that would be of major significance. Arrigo had not washed or disinfected either the skin or the knife. The entire area was dirty and unsanitary. Septicemia was a distinct possibility under these circumstances unless strong antibiotic treatment was commenced immediately. If, without this, the wound healed cleanly, a further proof of Arrigo at TMS powers would be provided. Puharic determined to avoid any use of antiseptics on the wound, and to shun any antibiotics unless the wound became critically infected later. He permitted Altimiro, Arrigo at TMS soft-spoken assistant who typed the prescriptions and did sundry dressings of wounds, to tape an unsterile gauze square over the wound. Puharic now felt that he had gotten over the big hump. He could confirm at least that this was no twilight zone, that it was something very real and valid. With only a pocket knife and a few other instruments, which were kept in what appeared to be a cookie tin, a beat-up fountain pen, and a plain paper tablet, the Brazilian peasant was treating more patients in a day than a great university medical center saw in a week. Whatever he was, Arrigo was some kind of undefined medical genius. Puharic and his interpreter finally cornered Arrigo for a serious talk. He asked if any doctors had come to Congonhas and made a serious study of his work. Arrigo said that very few had come, and although some had supported his work, the Brazilian Medical Association was dead set against him, as well as the Roman Catholic Church. Arrigo deeply regretted the latter, he said, because he had considered himself a devout Catholic, and he still put all his faith in Christ. He took no personal credit whatever for what he did. He added that he wasn't TMT supposed to be doing any operations, that in the past he had done major ones with no reports whatever of death or injury resulting. These he had done publicly. He confessed that if a patient really needed an operation now, he might do it privately, regardless of the legal risk. When Puharic asked Arrigo if it would bother him if he came back with the medical team for some extensive research, Arrigo replied that if it were done right, it would help him immeasurably, since no one had ever really validated his work scientifically. Some of his patients had actually been doctors, he said, but they didn't at TMT tell anyone out of fear of professional reprisals. He added that he had bishops and nuns and priests who had come to Congonhas for treatment, but that the church itself remained against him. The government was of course technically against him. It was the public prosecutor for the state of Minas Gerais who was formalizing the charges against him. The lawyers, the judges, the legislators, and many of whom came to him for treatment, all were sympathetic, but unable to do much if anything about it because of the penal code. He went on to tell Puharich that he needed public support, and that a formal scientific confirmation of his work might help considerably. With Arrigo TMS cooperation assured, 40, Puharich made a firm resolve to come back to Congonhas as soon as practically possible. Before they left Arrigo, Belk requested and received a prescription for his back condition. To make the diagnosis at TM, Arrigo simply glanced at Belk casually, while his right hand automatically scribbled out a prescription. Altimiro typed it out for him, a task he performed at machine gun speed. Puharich found Belk a TMS prescription grossly absurd for a back condition, and completely irrational from a medical point of view. Further, it called for massive doses which seemed totally out of line. In addition to vitamin B capsules, the prescription included Novaselin and Livizm, two digestive enzymes, and Pancron, a pancreas enzyme. The drugs were trade-name pharmaceutical preparations of Brazilian manufacture, and in normal therapeutic use in the ethical drug field. But the combination simply did not make sense. Belk, however, was willing to take a chance and to give them a try, just as Puharich had done with his surgery. The back condition had not responded to any of the intensive medical treatment Belk had undergone over several years. X-rays in the United States had shown a compression of the vertebra in the lumbar area. It would obviously take considerable time before the unconventional prescription could prove itself out, if at all. He was skeptical about possible results. Whatever explanations there were about Arrigo TMS' extraordinary and baffling prescriptions were vague. Patients had reported that the prescriptions worked when they came from Arrigo, where they would work for no one else. Puharich had made copies of several of them. He would give them thorough study later. No doctor he knew of would offer the prescription Arrigo had given Belk for a compressed vertebra. By stretching the imagination, a rationale might be found in the idea that there could be some benefit to the blood and digestive system arising out of the medicines, and therefore the condition in the back might improve with general bettering of the system. But this was a wide stretch of the imagination. The enzyme preparations were not chemical, but natural ferments, and were supposed to give the digestive juices a boost. There was no doubt about it, Arrigo TMS pharmacology was as mysterious as his surgery. As he packed, Puharich went back over the operation in his mind. Rini, whom they were going to meet later in S.A. Paolo to screen the film, had convinced him that removal of the lipoma had taken less than 10 seconds. Against the conventional surgery time of 15 or 20 minutes, this alone was incredible. The film would confirm this if it came out well. The botching of the still photographs was rankling, but understandable. There had been considerable tension at the time, and several of the patients looking on had actually cried. Anything that Arrigo did obviously had the capacity to arouse emotions. Perhaps that was part of his secret. On reflection, Puharich could recall that the only sensation he had felt was equivalent to a slight pinprick. The incision, he noted, was actually smaller than the lipoma. This was also contrary to surgical routine. Both Belk and Rini were able to tell him that it was removed by hand, without any instrument. Belk seemed to think the tumor almost popped out. Beyond the lack of pain and major bleeding was Arrigo TMS method in itself. It would be a rare surgeon who could work at that speed and not do damage to the nerve localized in the area. Arrigo seemed to work in blatant defiance of medical precautions, but then again, Arrigo had made it plain that he couldn't TMT take any credit for anything. It was all in the lap of Dr. Adolfo Fritz, a deceased German doctor who must have learned a lot of pharmacology and surgical techniques since he died in 1918. It was all too bizarre. Yet the material evidence was there to see, and that fact was irrefutable. Puharich had preserved the tumor, intact, in a glass bottle. It was also a clear fact that they had been unable to gather any evidence that Arago received any money or gifts whatever for his services. Ahiwona TMT even accept a cup of coffee at TM, the mayor of Congonhas had told Belk when he inquired earlier. The mayor, Jose A. Tilda copyright Theodoria Diacana, confirmed to Belk what he had heard from some of the local doctors, that nearly everyone in town had nothing 42, but praise for Arago, including most of the doctors themselves. Mayor Kanha TMS brother was a physician practicing in Belo Horizonte, the nearest large city, some 80 kilometers away. He had studied in the United States, completing his training at St. Lucia TMS Hospital in Kansas City in 1952. He was baffled by Arago, but confirmed his work without hesitation. Musing over the experience with Arago in his notes, Belk wrote, "A without doubt, he is the busiest and quickest, a doctora I have ever seen. He outdoes Henry Ford at TMS production line in Detroit. All patients are serious. Some are brought in on stretchers. Lourdes in France would run a poor second, if that. Competition is going to be tremendous in the healing business if Arago wins his lawsuit. A when Arago comes to trial for practicing medicine without a license, he will no doubt be guilty, because he has healed thousands. He is permitted to write prescriptions for one and all without control, which amazed us. When Arago pushed the knife blade in the eye of the first patient, and plunged it behind the eyeball, I was afraid it would pop out completely, aside from the risk of infection, using a kitchen knife. A at EMM leaving my address with Arago, and have offered to send him a ticket to the United States. To me, he has proved a case. As a taxi driver at the depot told me, A oh sure I know Arago. I drive down from below with them sick, and return with them well. A I believe this hack driver at EM. On the way to Belo Horizonte that afternoon, skirting over the precipitous roads of Minas Gerais, Belk and Puharich agreed that physicians from America and Europe should come to Congonhas, study the phenomena, and try to explain the process. Just how was another question. Arago was apparently beyond the accepted limits of parapsychology, to say nothing of medicine. As the tall, white buildings of Belo Horizonte suddenly broke into view over the soft green mountains, both men knew that there was an enormous job to be done, and they would need all the help they could get to persuade, cajole, and convince other researchers that it was worth doing. At Belo Horizonte, Belk got his strange prescription filled. It cost about $15 in American money. He felt a little sheepish in taking the medication, and was not able to muster much confidence that it would do any good. On the other hand, the thousands of reports that had been recorded about Arago at EMS patients suggested that the Brazilian at EMS mystique was much more important than the drugs involved. Was it, then, some rare and undefined placebo effect? In spite of his wonderment concerning Arago at EMS painless skill with the pocket knife, Puharich could not help feeling that he was bound to get blood poisoning. He found himself feeling his arm constantly for signs of septicemia, looking for the telltale red streaks, or for any signs of tetanus. But by the next day, the wound was already starting to heal cleanly, with the complete absence of infection. He couldn't TMT pull the wound apart, no pus whatever appeared. He continued to refrain from using any antiseptics on the wound, satisfying himself with changing the bandage. Neither Puharich nor Belk had the luxury of much free time for setting up the major study they wanted to do. Although the Belk Research Foundation had been founded to unite such fields as biology, medicine, physics, chemistry, and other disciplines in the study of the paranormal, Henry Belk still had his hands full as one of the chief executives of the chain of 350-odd department stores that bore his name all throughout the South. His merchandising work with the Belk stores was demanding, but his consuming interest in parapsychology, which had begun in his studies at Duke, was reflected in his setting up the foundation. Belk, an alert and outspoken man who speaks with a southern drawl, had been restless for some years about the lack of progress made in understanding the depth of the human mind and in exploring its full potential. He was intrigued by the new signs beginning to show up in the field of experimental psychology, and the scientific attention just beginning to turn toward the accomplishments of the Eastern mystics who had for centuries demonstrated that they could control involuntary processes of the body, which had previously elicited hardly a glance on the part of modern 44 science. There were vast unexplored areas here, and Belk was impatient to get on with what he felt was a long-neglected job. He was not by any means inclined to be taken in by pretenders. In fact, in any research program he had sponsored or participated in, he went for the jugular vein in looking for fakery. He had been looking for trickery in watching Arago, but had to admit that he could not find it. Puharich had done likewise. In any study of parapsychology, an experienced researcher will as a matter of course check thoroughly on the possibility of fraud. There are too many charlatans in the field to take chances. Any physician who shows even the slightest interest in parapsychology or psychic healing is automatically subject to criticism, a fact that Puharich was well aware of. He had already been subject to his share of it, but was willing to take that for granted, as long as he was sure in his own mind that he could not be taken in by trickery or charlatanism. Puharich was confident that his own scientific training enabled him to make considered judgments on this score. After earning his medical degree at Northwestern, he had done research in physiology in the graduate school there, completed his internship and residency in Oakland, California, and had received a General Foods Corporation Research Fellowship for experimental electrobiology. He was licensed for the practice of medicine in California, Maine, and New York, with a specialty in internal medicine. The object of his current medical research was the development of what are called transdermal hearing devices, designed to enable a person suffering from total deafness to receive electric signals transmitted through the skin, which are in turn translated into a word CTM. This and other research in the field of bioengineering expanded his interest in blending this technical work with such fields as telepathy and extrasensory perception. He was frequently asked to present papers to various government and scientific organizations that were making cautious probes into the paranormal, covering such subjects as the biochemical basis for extrasensory perception and the problems of instrumenta fortifi and control in this field. His audiences included the Department of Defense, the Medical Research Laboratory of the Army Chemical Corps, the Institute of Radio Engineers, and the 6th Naval District. To the last group, he had presented a demonstration by Peter Hercos involving telepathy and clairvoyance. In addition, he was assisting a cardiovascular research team at New York University in the bioengineering development of electronic and mechanical systems for a ventricular assist program. Both this and the hearing device project were extremely demanding. But, like Belk, he was convinced that the extraordinary recent developments in the exploration of the mind warranted important study and the sacrifice of personal time to try to advance it. When Belk and Puharich arrived in S.A. Tilda Pando Paolo, the first news they received from Rini was that the film had come through with flying colors. The operation, Rini told them over the phone, showed up clearly in spite of the skimpy 8mm camera and the unsophisticated lens. In addition, Rini had available the previous films he had taken of Arago, before the legal proceedings had begun against him. During these times, Arago had done more complex surgery. The Americans lost no time in going to Rini at EMS apartment, where his projector was set up and waiting. They ran Puharich at EMS operation several times. Puharich studied it intently. If anything, Rini had overestimated the length of time from Arago at EMS incision to the removal of the tumor. It was closer to 5 seconds, not 10. Instead of a direct surgical incision, Arago seemed to scrape the blade across the surface of the arm, moving the knife so fast that it was almost impossible to discern exactly how he did it. If the tumor had not completely disappeared from his arm, and if Puharich did not have the lipomu in a bottle, he would almost think it had been sleight of hand, a device that some charlatans in the Philippines had used. Within the brief seconds involved, the lipomu was out, and a thin trickle of blood rolled down the arm. The film was effective as proof of the event, and it was enough to rule out any possibility of unconscious hallucination, which, of course, had been practically ruled out earlier. What a TMS more, the wound had continued to heal cleanly, no pus formed, no systemic poisoning was evident. Two wildly improbable medical events had taken place, the removal of the tumor and the total absence of infection. There was little doubt that Arago was involved in an unidentified compartment of medicine that could have profound effects worldwide. The film sequences that followed confirmed this. In the sequences involving the eye operations, there was no question, as they had also noted in person, that the blade of a sharp knife was scraped down over the open eye, was plunged deeply up into the sinuses, was manipulated with force, was used as a lever to extrude the eyeball partly out of the socket, and that no injury or damage resulted, after careful examination. Under normal conditions, the pain involved would have been literally unbearable. In the film sequences that Rini had taken earlier, a cataract was removed in a matter of seconds from a fully conscious, unflinching patient. A later medical examination by a qualified ophthalmologist confirmed the success, Rini told them. Another fully conscious patient was filmed with a large hydrocele, the painful and alarming condition where a testicle becomes swollen enormously, often doubling, tripling, or to an even greater extent surpassing its normal size. Arago was seen plunging an enormous syringe into it and draining the fluid into an empty orange crush bottle. The fluid quickly overflowed this container, and a large Coke bottle was substituted. All through the process, which is agonizingly painful normally, the patient stood calmly, and even smiled at the camera. When the process was completed, with quarts of fluid removed, Arago had told the man, "Hey, now you can get married at TM." Another unusual sequence followed. Arago operated on a large but relatively uncomplicated abscess on a patient at TMS back. As usual, he plunged the knife in brutally, cut deeply into the flesh of the small of the back, a sector heavily served with blood vessels and therefore inclined to bleed profusely. Very little blood flowed out, but the abscess was 47, drained, and Arago turned the patient over to Altimiro to complete the draining and extract the remaining matter. Although the patient was totally calm and without pain during the time Arago was operating, he screamed in pain as soon as Altimiro touched him. In other words, whatever power it was that permitted Arago to cut painlessly into one of the most sensitive areas of the body, it was apparently not transferable to his assistant. In spite of the clear evidence in the films, in spite of the preliminary data collected, and in spite of direct observation of literally hundreds of cases by the two Americans, there was still bound to be an uphill battle in soliciting support for the needed future research. The very fact that Arago claimed to be incorporated at TM by the spirit of a deceased German physician was enough to turn off most of the scientists who might be otherwise interested. This bothered Puharich and Belk too, and strained their own credulity. It was incredible enough to accept the documented empirical evidence, without having to consider a concept so foreign to the practical mind that it might shut off intelligent inquiry before it started. And yet this strange claim of spirit a possession at TM could not be ignored or buried, since Arago insisted it was not only an integral part of his work, but was the entire essence of his skills and powers. Far from enhancing an explanation of what Arago did and how he was able to do it, this was a stumbling block. A scientist who stood up before a meeting of a professional organization and began with a statement about Arago and a Dr. Fritz at TM, would be likely to be laughed off the podium. Nor was this all. There were reports that other A-spirits at TM entered into establishing Arago at TMS prowess as a miracle healer. These were even more far-fetched than a Dr. Fritz at TM, and included the spirits of several other deceased surgeons and doctors of various nationalities, along with a 13th-century monk. Belk had picked up this information in his research around the town of Congonhas, and he was not at all happy about it. It clouded the main issue: was Arago capable of bringing about cures by medicine and surgery that defied the concepts of modern medical science? And if so, how and why? Both he and Puharich were now ready 48 to concede on the first question, but the how and why was obscured by what appeared to be folklore and mythology, which would not be easily susceptible to current methods of inquiry.